Okay, so Rabbi said, yes, I remind them, no shir tomorrow, but mitzvah Hashem, back to normal on Wednesday, mitzvah Hashem. Okay, and Olim should fast well, mitzvah Hashem. Okay, we're up to Simon Tov Nun Aleph, Siv Aleph. We're up to the... we discussed yesterday the Kedesh Shel Cheres, earthenware. And we learned yesterday that if it's been used for Pesach, we learned yesterday you can put it away. If it's been used during the year for Chometz, you can put it away during Pesach. You don't have to sell it. Ideally, you should lock it up in a different room. Okay, second line from the bottom. Aval, but. Hesek shasikam ba'esh. But if you would attempt to kasher it with fire, aval hesek shasikam ba'esh, if you're trying to kasher it by means of fire, enoy moylehem will not help. For loy leshum kli cheres, and to any earthenware ceramic, it won't work. Shenishtamish ba'em chamin, that hot chametz was used for, afili sheloy al de'ur, elo she'eru le'soycho roischin, even if it wasn't, if this earthenware was used not mamash by fire, but by hot water being poured into it, nevertheless, it cannot be kashered. So what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here is that we discussed yesterday that if earthenware was used during the year, it cannot be used on Pesach. Now we're learning, in line with that, you can't kasher it. It's not going to work. You can't kasher it. Now, no other metal-made kelim can be kashered. Earthenware cannot be kashered. Why is that? Why can it not come out? You're saying that it's a deeper level of absorption. It's absorbed deeper in. There's a. So the Shulchan Aruch gives us another reason. And I'm going to explain later, Beis Hashem, why it can't be true. We'll speak about that. V'yesh oisrin afilu b'kli sheni. Right. V'afilu, says the Shulchan Aruch, top line of 74. And that is true. Not only with regards to Chometz, this will be true now. We're going to be learning now in the next line. It's going to be true with regards to any earthenware question, such as earthenware which became also basa b'cholav or treif or whatever it is. Any earthenware keli cannot be kashered. V'afilu mimalum kecholim, even if you're going to put kecholim coals in it, you still cannot kasher it. Why is that? Because the next following words, the chashinon, we are concerned. Dilmochayis aleyu, perhaps you're going to be concerned, worried about them. Shema poki, perhaps they're going to break. Perish shema isbaku, perhaps they're going to split. Ve'leyovit lehu asaka ma'alya, and therefore you're not going to do it proper, you're not going to catch it properly. In other words, when it comes to a metal keli, and I'm referring to now both basa b'cholav, chametz, anything, you can take a pot which is made out of metal, and you can kasher it. Do you know what? Even if the pot was used for, excuse the term, but even if it was used for chaza, you can kasher it. Yes, it can be kashered. Even if you used it not for once, but for 10 times. You know what? If you took meat and milk, and you cooked it together, and whatever you may have done with this metal keli, there is a golden rule of Kabbalah Kachpolti, we'll be learning more about that, that it can be kashered. The way, whichever way it came in, he can go out again. Kabbalah Kachpolti. It can go out again. Any bliyas that went in, any issa that went in, you can remove again. So why is that not true with regards? That's true. That is true with regards to metal. That is true with regards to most other materials, but that is not true with regards to earthenware. Why not? What is different about earthenware? Earthenware has got the quality, it cannot take heat so much, and it can break. Now, unfortunately, guys are not here to explain us the chemical aspect of the scientific aspect of that. Perhaps Chaim can explain. We cannot take as much heat, and at one point he might just break. With regards to metal, what's the difference between metal and earthenware? Any experience? It won't break. If anything, it's going to go soft, but it's not going to break. And also, that needs much, much greater heat than earthenware. Is that correct? Yeah, so earthenware, it might crack. And therefore, people will be reluctant to kasha earthenware because you don't want to, you want to break it all together. And Devachim said, you're not going to do a proper job when it comes to kasha. When it comes to metal, we trust you. Chachamim trust it. You're going to kasha it like a mensch. But, especially those of us who like fire, but when it comes to earthenware, people are not going to do a proper job. You're going to be reluctantly putting a bit of fire. It's okay, and because you're going to be worried, it's going to crack. Pardon?
The rice, it's fine.
Yeah, that's right. In intrinsically, it should be fine. Yeah, but the Maaseh, we cannot kasher with earthenware. Therefore, it's going to come to chametz as well. It cannot be kasher for chametz. There's one exception, and that's the exception which is discussed now. Ve'im umiyu, however, second line on page 74, imechzir on a kivshon, if you're putting it back into the furnace, into the fire mamash, shemetzav mpoikalecheres, that normally is used to remodel and reshape and recreate earthenware, chadoshim, like you make it new, mutet permitted. Why? To kim the machzin on eser godel, since you're entering it into the fire, burning furnace, because vadeh lo ichayis oleu, it's not going to burn, so you're not going to be bothered about it. Till mapok, you're not going to be bothered if it breaks or not. Avol atanurim shalon uloi, but that's not true with regards to normal traditional ovens. So what we're learning now here is that there's one exception, that is if you're putting in such a heat, even to the furnace, then if you're not bothered about it breaking, because you're putting it back to the initial, you're resetting it to initial heat, to initial stage, that'll be fine, because you're quite happy to. Now, I don't know exactly how it works. Anybody knows? That element of putting china into the kifshon, into the furnace that you normally make it. Does anybody have any experience in that? Now, I know how earthenware, ceramic. Has anybody made ceramic before? Do you know how it works? Does anybody know? No? Is that? Yeah, you know. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so that's why I'm not quite sure about it. So what I do know is that normally ceramic, you model it when it's still soft, and then afterwards you heat it up and it gets hard. Is that no? No? And then you glaze it. You may want to glaze it. Right. Now, I understand also that if it gets really, really hot, it's going to crack. Now, I don't know if a cracked, what it seems like from here, a cracked earthenware, would you, if it gets really hot, would that get soft again and you can reshape it, remodel it? Have you got any? So I'm not quite sure what it means of it. Do you have any suggestions? It sounds like if you put it back into the kivshon, into the furnace, so hot that in the same situation as if you'd be remaking it, then it's mutter. Since you're putting in such heat, you obviously don't care about it breaking, and that's why it's fine. So I'm not quite sure exactly the details. What it would appear is that if you put in such heat, you wouldn't care because you could.
Put it in, so you don't care if it breaks or not. It doesn't break,
and
I can use it.
You think it's not going to break because the heat is so great that it won't break.
You can say it doesn't break. It doesn't break.
You're
showing if you don't care if it breaks. It happens to you that it doesn't break.
Mm. It's still got your key
now. It's
mutter
to use it.
I would not. Yeah. Because
doesn't apply. Because.
Yeah, I just don't know if it could be. I just don't know factually if that's correct, but could be. Continues the Ramah, Kol Kli Atzorich Libon HaGola, also the Shtamish Boy, Afidu Ritzonim B'loi Heksha. The Ramah is giving us a rule over here, that Kol Kli, any Keli, which Atzorich Libon requires Libon, which means kashering through fire, or HaGola, also the Shtamish Boy, you're not allowed to use it, Afidu Ritzonim, even if it's cold, for cold use, B'loi Heksha, without having kashering. Ayin B'yoy Desim Kuf Chof Aleph. So this is the general rule over here, that any keli which requires to be kashered through libun, or agola, through kashering through fire, you're not allowed to use it even if it's for cold. So in other words, say you've got, what would be a good example? You've got, what would be something that you need agola? You've got a knife at home, which is a milky knife, and by mistake you got meat on it. So now the meat cannot be used. Now it needs to be kashered. True or not true? It needs to be kashered, right? This knife now has got milchig and fleischig in it. It needs to be kashered. Are you allowed to take this knife and now cut something cold with it? You can't, right? Because now that it's, although the blades are not going to go out, but since this knife is now also, you cannot use it for cold. Or there will be another example, something which is, something which became tefah for whatever reason. What can you think of another example? a pot, which become teif, yeah, whatever became teif, whatever reason, don't say, yeah, it's only a problem for heat. No, no, it's not true. Even for cold, you cannot use it before you've done the hechsher. Okay, siv beis. Siv beis, kuvya, which is a kind of oven, which is an oven which is made out of she'osin melevenim, which is made out of bricks, ve'ofar and earth, ve'ofin, and you bake in it, or metagdin, you fry in it, boy, ve'chein tanu cotton, and similarly it's smaller sized oven, she'kohen fildia, which is called the fildia, hesekum ibechutz, the fire is from outside, ve'osu, we're going to learn like the Mishnah, it says ve'osu, it adds the vav over here, ve'osu levos be'be Pesach, and you cannot bake with it on Pesach. This is a small oven, and the fire is outside. Imagine. You cannot use it for Pesach. Because the chometz, there's an intrinsic problem of chometz. But if the coals are inside, it's going to be a problem. So Rabbi said, this is a very clear and straight on follow on from the earlier Seif. What's going on over here is the following. What is an oven, a kuvya, this oven, what is it made out of? It's made out of earthenware. So based on what we said before, an oven which is made out of earthenware, what would be the halacha? Could you use it on Pesach or not? Let's think this through. We have an oven which is made out of earthenware. Would you think you could use it on Pesach or not? Very good. Why? Very good. Absolutely. That's it. There is. We would have argued that you can use it on Pesach, because all the reason why we can't use earthenware on Pesach is because we're worried it's going to break. But with an oven, it's not going to happen because it's not going to explode. It's made in a way. So we. So again, I don't have.
Why is this oven?
The oven is different than normal klei cheres. Because an oven, we're not worried he's going to be careful with it, because it's made for fire. Therefore, we said that earthenware generally, we don't kasher, because we're worried Tilmachais, he's not going to do proper kashering. But when it comes to the fire over here, when it comes to the oven over here, since it's made initially, it's actually Shamash, therefore we're not, so it's going
to
be okay.
Yeah, but
not for fire mamash, not in fire mamash. Because we are worried that if you're going to try to kasher an earthenware generally, you're not going to do a proper job because it's going to break. You're not going
to
do a proper job.
You have to kasher it for more than the hottest it gets.
Yes, but even that, we're concerned he's not going to do a proper job. He's going to be concerned. He's not going to do a proper job. The tunnel is not going to be worried about it. He's not going to be concerned. All reason was, top line of page 74. On a normal keli, we are worried, don't kasher, because we're worried you're not going to kasher, you're not going to do a proper job because of the heat. You're not going to do proper kashering. However, when it comes to an oven, a kuvya, or a fildia, there we are saying it's an oven, he's not going to be careful with it. He's not going to have any reservation, he's going to do a proper job, and therefore it's fine, you can use it. So, therefore, Shulchan Aruch says, "Hesekum ibachutz ve'also levos be'pesach." If the hesek is machutz, then don't use it. The ein chometz shebo niflat bekach, because the chometz doesn't go out. But if imelu gecholim, if there is fire mamash inside, shari, then it's okay. Let's look at the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkot nuzayin, hesekum ibachutz ve'also kentzorich ve'also kentzorich lema roitz loyma shemachmas. Because she'sekem ibachutz, since the fire is external, the fire is outside, loy mahani ha'esek loy tiabalua. So since the fire is external, hits the hesek, the fire is not going to take the balua out. But if the fire is inside, then it's fine. Im lo gecholim hatam the stambuch ye ein darkol is back. It's not something which this oven is not going to break. Hal kein therefore ein lochush. We don't have to be concerned. Il mechay soleh, maybe he's going to be careful with it. Velo yilab ni yofen, he's not going to do a proper libun. We're not worried about that. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes in the next part of the Mishnah Berurah. He discusses other types of bricks and other types of ovens, but the general principle is that we said. Now, see, Gimel is going to go into sakinim, knives. How about you say, there's a new sugi now of knives. Having discussed ovens made out of earthenware, we're going to move on to knives now, which is which is made out of metal, would you say that metal knives can or cannot be kashered? Metal knives. You use this knife for chametz throughout the whole year. Oh, you use this knife for... And it became also. Can you kasher a knife? Or not? Why not? You're saying why not? You say that it's metal, so surely it should be kashered. Oh, you're saying there's another problem. You cannot do chametz stick Pesach. Why not? Why not? It's going to get mixed up. What about flashing, melching, flashing? It's pretty the same. Very good. Mishnah. We're going to talk about that. Okay, let's see Siv Gemel. Sakinim, knives. Magilin be klerishin mutorin. You're allowed to cash them in a klerishin mutorin. They're going to be permitted. Yes, in a klerishin, it's fine. Klei rishin, what is a klei rishin? For klei rishin, nikro she'etichoi bo'imayim alo eish. Any klei rishin, definition of a klei rishin, we now have a definition of a klei rishin, she'etichoi bo'imayim alo eish, which is something which has been a keli, which a vessel which was on a fire, that keli is considered klei rishin. V'afilu einu ata alo eish, even if the klei rishin has been removed now from the fire, shodenu resach, but it's still bubbling, it's still hot, he's still considered a klei rishin. My wife claims that I'm a holder. I just love keeping things fine. She's probably right. I'll tell you what, I found this, which I did last time we learned this simon. So that's quite, I must say, it shows that sometimes it's worth. This is when we learned this simon, you see? You remember that? So we learned simon tofen and aleph. I found this amongst my notes. So that must be about 7 years old. So it's just proof that sometimes it's worthwhile not getting rid of stuff. So what I was trying to figure out what I did then, it makes sense. What I was trying to explain then is that various levels of libun, which is burning through fire. That's the definition of libun, which we will be talking more about that, but not for now. There's hagola, which is the concept of kebolo kachpoltoi, which we will be discussing as well, but not tonight. What we are discussing now is the definition of a klerishin, which is, can you see, klerishin over here, which I wrote down as a first vessel. This is a fire. So my drawing skills have not deteriorated, they've been as bad since. So that's the same. But a klerishin over here is ala fire. And what is important is that the klerishin is even considered the klerishin. That's the chiddush of our Shulchan Aruch over here. It's a chiddush. A global, universal, very important chiddush. That the klerishin is even considered a klerishin, even once it's removed from the fire. These are the words over here. Klerishin, nikra, is considered a klerishin of she'eticha b'mayim alo eish, v'afilu eina ata alo eish, even if it's not on the fire anymore. Rabbi said, this is a really important chiddush. You take a pot, which was on the fire, which has bubbling water, and you remove it from the fire, it will still be considered a klerishin as long as it's hot. This is really important. We will be talking more about that. Not just if it's on the fire. Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch's word is she'ayudenu roiseach. And it's a very big and important discussion. What is resicha? Does it only mean bubbling, or does it mean as long as it's gyatzeledes boy? And the general consensus of the poiskim, both in Yerideh and in Chashabah, says that as long as it's gyatzeledes boy, it will still be considered a klerishin. But it's true, the word roiseach over here could be interpreted in a different way. But we are learning that it is anything which is a klerishin, which is yatzeledes boy. So now, this action, or this mechanics over here, of the pouring onto a klisheni, so that will be a klisheni, which is any random keli, which may be cold. If I pour it from a klerishin onto a klisheni, that movement, that action, that part, that's called the iroi klerishin, which is the equivalent, if I'm thinking about my Shabbos kettle, so I've got the Shabbos urn, which is what? Klerishin. If I'm pouring water from the urn onto my coffee, or onto my cup, let's say, I call it a cup, so that would be considered now an iroi klerishin. Similarly, it's an iroi, the pouring. So if I have coffee granules in the bottom of the klisheni, that would be considered iroi klerishin on coffee granules. Similarly, if I've got a pot of hot water on a pot of water which is on the gas, and I'm pouring that onto there was hot water which is in a chametz stick pot, so that was a pot which was used for pasta, and I'm pouring that now onto another keli, then that would be irreclaration of water which is chametz stick water. Does that make sense? So that is iru, and the klisheni is a second vessel. Now, so again, we're defining a klirishin, but most importantly, we're adding to the klirishin is that anything which has been, as long as it's been in the, once it's been on the fire, even once you've taken it off of the fire, it's considered, it's still considered a klirishin. Now, what we are learning though, back to the knives, is that knives can be kashered in a klirishin. So if a knife was used for, that's the words, sakinim aginim beklirishin mutorin. So if you used a knife for cutting your schnitzel, your fleischig schnitzel, where will it be? Well, that's going into, you know what, let's leave out the schnitzel, but let's use that and use the knife for something in a cliche. So the knife can be kashered through a clearishin process. Knives can be kashered. The Mishneh Berurah does say that it's not a great idea, probably because of the point that you mentioned. It's not a great idea. Although Shulchan Aruch says that you can, in principle, kasher knives, but in reality, there's a bit of a challenge with knives, which is what? The grooves. He strongly dislikes the grooves, and therefore, it's not good to kasher knives, certainly not for Pesach. The Mishneh Berurah does say over here, the minig is not to kasher knives from basar to cholov or the other way around. But what you can do is as follows: you can, let's say you want to use a, generally, let's leave out even knives, any keli. Can you use a pot? Do you want to make it from fleischig to milchig or vice versa? Can you do that? Okay, the fleischig pot, you want to use it for milchig now? Can you do that? You kasher it and then it. You can kasher it and use it for the other type. Would you do that? How about a spoon? You had a fleischig spoon, used it for years, and actually realized you don't need it for fleischig, you want it for milchig, you want it for your porridge. Can you do that? Can you change a fleischig keli for milchig or vice versa? So he says that the minhag is we don't do that. But there's a very easy way out. You can kasher it for Pesach, anything, and then once it's for Pesach, after Pesach you can transfer it to the other type.
It's likely confusion.
But he said the way out is to do it for Pesach. Once you change it for Pesach, then afterwards you can change into the other type, and that will be fine. So if you ever want to change your pot into the other type, then just wait for Pesach and it'll be all right. Yes, so that's what you could really do it for every Pesach. Milchig for fleischig you can't do unless you do it for Pesach. Precisely because of your concern. We don't change milchig fleischig. Every month on Thursday, you're going to start changing it. So we don't do that. So the only way we do, although in principle it should be fine, Haggadah should work. But we're saying, no, it's too likely you're going to make a mistake. And therefore, we just wait for Pesach. For Pesach is the only time you can do it. Okay, fine. This is it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening and a good fast. Good evening.